what I learned was that you can get everybody on your side. You can get everybody working when you create that space. So it really just starts with you. And that's the hardest person, right? That's the hardest person to lead is yourself. It's hard to have self-awareness. It takes a lot of work.
You are listening to business and mindset coach Jessica Rivera, who helps entrepreneurs elevate their leadership and communication so you can increase productivity and performance in a business. In this episode, we break down the importance of communication, leadership, and creating the right environment for your team. This episode is for those who want to grow and expand their leadership or their communication skills to lead their organization to better results. So the question is, how do entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and experts scale to create a massive business all while having fun and impacting lives? Welcome to the Raquel Show. I'm your host, Raquel Quinette, business coach, real estate entrepreneur, investor, wife, and sports mom. This podcast will give you real quick tips, strategies, tools, and inspire you to help you play bigger in business and in life. Are you ready? Let's grow to the next level. Welcome to the Raquel Show. This show is for entrepreneurs who want to play bigger in business and in life. And today I have a very special guest that I got to meet about a year ago, believe it or not, at our first ever women's retreat in Turks and Caicos. And I knew from the moment I had met her, she came in like a boss and definitely knew a lot of things. It's no surprise that she has grown and elevated so many different things since that retreat. And she comes with a lot of experience, which I absolutely love. And you guys know I talk about that a lot, that you can never substitute experience for anything else. And I can't wait for her to share her story and give you all the nuggets when it comes down to communication and leadership. Jessica Rivera is a business and mindset coach based out of New York. She helps entrepreneurs elevate their leadership and communication so that they can increase productivity, remove roadblocks in their business, and increase performance in themselves and others. Welcome to the show, Jessica.
Yay! Thank you for that introduction. That was amazing. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so excited to have this conversation. And I love the fact that you talk about communication and leadership a lot. But before we kind of dive into it, I'd love for my audience and our community to know, how did you get to where you're at today?
Yeah, thank you. So I grew up in New York, born and raised. I've never lived anywhere else. And it's so funny. I just posted something on LinkedIn and I was like standing by a bodega, you know, a little typical New York grocery store. Mm-hmm. And someone sent me a message and said, I don't know how you made a bodega photo on LinkedIn sound corporate. Like, how did you make the two work? But that's just who I am. Like, I'm New York, I'm tough. And I spoke a lot about how New York made me tough and it made me feel like I needed to outwork, out hustle, outdo. I'm Latina. I ended up in a male dominated industry. So I felt like I needed to work harder. I matched their energy. And having nothing to do with the male dominated industry, I think that was just my vibe forever. I have a ton of male friends. And I always felt like it worked in my favor. But I will say that, you know, as I've grown, especially in leadership, I've learned how to hone into that feminine side and not be so, I was called aggressive a lot. And I was in sales. So I was like, great, I'm aggressive. I get the numbers, right? But it doesn't always work that way in leadership. And I think that we really have to learn how to balance, you know, your feminine energy and your masculine energy. And they both have a place.
Mm-hmm. So good. And I want to dive into some of those. Is like, you're really big on communication, leadership, and team environment. And since a lot of our audience own their own businesses or have teams, how important is it to have the right environment for your team or your company or your organization?
Yeah, what I've learned over the years, and I inherited teams, I created teams. And obviously when you inherit a team, usually, or at least for me, it wasn't the ideal situation. You know, there were people on that team that we just didn't see eye to eye. The work ethic wasn't the same. And anyone who's who became a leader for the first time, you're like, oh my gosh, I can, especially for a hard worker or a hustler, you're like, what is everybody else doing? And well, that was the, no, for my first challenge. But what I learned was that you can get everybody on your side. You can get everybody working when you create that space. So it really just starts with you. And that's the hardest person, right? That's the hardest person to lead is yourself. It's hard to have self-awareness. It takes a lot of work, especially when you're in a sales environment. It's like, go, go, go. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. I'm telling you what to do. I know how to do it. But that's not the way humans work. That's not the way we work when you really even think about it. Especially think about yourself as a teenager. Your parents told you what to do and you did what you wanted to do anyway. And so what I learned was when you create an environment of psychological safety, and I had never heard that term. And when I heard it from a coach, actually, I was describing how I was handling my team. And he said, oh, wow, it sounds like you are creating psychological safety. And I was like, I guess so. But psychological safety was a term developed from a scientist, and she was doing a study. And what she learned was that the teams that felt the most comfortable admitting mistakes, letting the leader, owner know, hey, I messed up, those are the teams that elevated the most, are the teams that had the most profit. Those are the teams that lasted through downfalls in, you know, industries like we're in now, that where someone else comes and recruits them, they don't leave because they have the ability to say, hey, I messed up and this is where I think we can change or we can grow. Versus, and I know we've all been there where we have a leader and it's like, you are so afraid to admit a mistake because you don't want the backlash, even if you know how to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scary place to be. And I think when we care about our company so much and they're our babies, we can act like that sometimes as leaders. And it's hard.
Yeah. So if we have a leader or they are leading an organization or a company today and they have that, or they sense that from their team members or their employees, what's the first thing that you would say could break that down to create that safety in the environment?
I think the most important thing you could do is be the example, right? Be the example. Many times we say, hey, what do you think about this? And then we go and we give our feedback first. And of course, your people, they're going to agree with you because they don't want to let you down. And you've already persuaded them one way or the other, right? Innately, even if they don't want to be the yes man, typically they can be. So it's important that you let them lead first. Also, ask for feedback. Really and truly ask for feedback. And when you get that negative feedback, which can always be hard, even when we think we're ready for it, it can be really difficult. Do not react. Do not react. I remember really clear, I had a leader one time and he was really trying to practice this. And he asked for feedback, anonymous feedback. We gave it to him and he was so upset. And it was, the feedback was BS. It wasn't anything big. It was like, hey, stop beating us up about our people's PTO. Like it was nothing major. And he was so upset. Guess we never wanted to give him feedback again. So I think it's important that we are the example first.
Yeah. You know, what you bring up is just like an example of what really happens, I think, in a lot of different companies. I've seen it over and over where you give feedback and then you get the backlash and then you wonder why you're not getting feedback anymore. Right. I see that so much, not only in business, in teams, but also in people's personal lives. So when we think about leading and you say like leading is they got to, you know, empower them, is how important would you say is mindset to becoming a better leader?
Well, it's everything, right? It's literally everything. And I'll tell you, it's something I've been working on for years and years. And I just spoke about this in my stories just now, right before we got on the call, actually, that one of the things that I was in an Eckhart Tolle book, and I always say the name of it wrong, and I love it, but it's like The Awakening or A New Earth. I think it's A New Earth is the right title. But he says in there, the next time you get bad feedback, negative feedback or a criticism, sit with it. Say nothing. And it is really difficult to do because we all think we're good people. We think we're hard workers. We think we, you know, we try our best. So it's like we justify and we tell you all the reasons why instead of just sitting with it. And so I actually just practiced it this week because it's an ongoing thing. It's not like you learn it one and done and you never get triggered again. That just doesn't happen, especially when we're speaking about our babies, like our businesses or our family or our spouse or our loved one. They trigger us, right? Even the people that we love the most probably trigger us the most. And so when they give us negative feedback, it's like, wait one second, remember when you did this and you did that? So leadership, whether it's in your personal life, especially in business, it's really important for you to be the example, and that mindset is everything.
It definitely does take practice over and over. It's not a one and done thing. Communication is never a one and done thing. And it's interesting that you say, because, you know, there's certain people that are in your circle that you love and they can trigger you. And I think that happened for us this weekend with my husband going to another play and go, can I give you criticism? I'm like, how about we not say criticism right when he gets to the bench? And why don't we just say feedback first or just say something positive? And he goes, gosh. And then so now there's this whole thing with our family. He's like, mom, can I give you feedback? But I think it's really important how you deliver anything, right? In teams, in communication. And my question is, what do you think breaks down communication in an organization or in a relationship that you see?
Definitely, I think you landed on it. Feedback is the biggest thing because many of us do not know how to receive and we do not know how to give feedback, to your point. It's that good old saying, it's never what we say, it's always how we say it. And I know this all so well because that was me. I was really bad at it. That's why I love when people say, oh, it comes so natural to you. Oh, you make everyone feel so comfortable. Well, yeah, because I worked on it for so long and I practiced it. And I remember, you know, I have older young adults right now, my kids. And when they were younger, I remember the first time I asked them, like, what can I do better in our relationship? What can I do better right now? And the first thing they said was, well, they started naming things that they could do better because they were so used to me telling them what they could do better. They couldn't come up with what I could do better. They had to really put some thought into it. And that's when one of the times when I remember our relationships really started to change, when I was like, hey, no, tell me what I can do better. And they were like, oh, wait a second, let me think about this. So communication goes right along with feedback, right? The way we deliver that feedback, being super intentional with your words, really thinking things through, stopping, stop reacting, proactive language. That's the language of leadership, really stopping and thinking about how are my words going to impact the other person? What could I use differently? Like I never use that word criticism. It has a negative connotation. So I never use that word criticism. I always say feedback. Timing is everything. Like you said, you don't want to hit him as soon as he gets to the bench. Give the person a moment, yeah, right? So things to calm down. Calmer heads always prevail.
I love it. And, you know, you said that you learned it over time. People thought it came naturally. And I think that's what people think as they see their leaders, as they see the organization, is that, oh, it's so easy for them. But leadership at the end of the day is a learned skill, and it's also earned every single day. You can be a good leader, and then there you can even have bad moments as a leader, but it's about what you learn in the process. So when it comes on the flip side of mistakes, and you have worked with so many different companies, so many different people, what do you think are some of the mistakes when it comes to communication?
One of the things that came up as you were speaking is, because I think one of the misconceptions is when we are a good leader, we're friends with everybody. We're friendly. We let them get away with stuff. And that's not how we think about it, but that is what happens, right? And it happens so much in businesses also, especially small businesses, kind of ground up teams that are like family, quote unquote, is that's my buddy, that's my friend. We go out drinking. We probably drink too much. Like there's no boundaries. And I think that that is a huge, huge mistake. Even in families, structure is good. Boundaries are good, even with the people we love the most. And so when I think about, or when you think about leaders that you've had that are phenomenal, they probably had really good boundaries. People that didn't have boundaries and just let me get away with the world, I'm like, you're not helping me. You're not helping me grow. And so I think it's important as a leader for us to understand that we want to have healthy boundaries, even with our top dogs, even with our people that are really producing for us. Sure, I think it's okay for us to make mistakes. I think you mentioned mistakes. It's important for us as a leader to admit those mistakes, voice those mistakes. There's nothing wrong with that. Let people know it is okay to be wrong. I think that when you do that, you give grace, right? You give grace to somebody else for making a mistake, and they'll give you grace for making a mistake instead of judging. When you don't judge them, then they're less likely to judge you. You could be okay with making mistakes. I said this the other day, I have no problem with mistakes. Make mistakes over and over again, because that's how we learn. Excuses though, excuses get all the way under my skin.
You and me both. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think you said it perfectly, is that it's okay to make mistakes and own it. Just own it. Like, there's so much value when even a leader takes ownership in their downfall or in their mistakes. They're actually way more respected. And I think it's when we hide things that, and we think that we're perfect, that it breaks down that culture or that trust of communication.
That's the word right there, trust. It builds trust when we can show people, hey, we're human too, and we make mistakes too. Because deep down, we all know no one's perfect. And when you try to come across as perfect, you come across as phony.
100%. So I have a question, because you are, like I said, really big on communication. And I know I can almost assure you that the people listening are like, oh, she's saying all the right things, because we deal with it all the time in our businesses, as well as our clients, is, you know, as we think about communication today, there are so many different mediums of communication, whether it's phone, email, social media. Like, how do you think like that changes in on a team, in an environment, in an organization, with all those different mediums? And like, where do you draw the line? Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for asking that question, because I see it all the time. We hide behind email, right? Especially people who serve customers sometimes, they will hide behind email because they have too much to do. Oh, let me get that email out. Now I feel better. It's done. Okay, no. Especially if it's something big. And I'll tell you what happened to me a couple of years ago. I was refinancing my mortgage and I had been working with someone. Things weren't going as planned. I'm letting it go. I'm giving them grace. My down payment changed. It went from X, I don't even remember, from X to Y. I don't remember. And she texts me at 7:00 in the morning to tell me the change. I lost it. All the work on my communication went out the window.
Yeah, I can see why.
I'm in sales. Who does that? I'm like, I was not going to be happy about it. The courtesy of a phone call would be nice. I think when you're delivering a tough message, that's the other thing, people, again, giving feedback or even delivering messages that you think, oh, they're not going to receive this well. That's where you really need to sit down and think through, what words are you going to use? How are you going to make it benefit the customer? Why? Why is this happening? Explain the why. Many times, people will not be happy with the message, but if you explain the why, they'll understand. They may not like it, but they will understand. And I think we need to stop hiding behind email, behind text messages, and pick up the phone. Like, it's okay to be old school sometimes and pick up the phone. I call it having courage and consideration when communicating, right? Have the courage to have those difficult conversations, but then also have the consideration to really think through those, through your words, and don't like, oh, it is what it is. You gotta pay more. Like, that's not the way to do it either. Have courage and have consideration in your communication.
That's so good. Having consideration and courage and like really thinking about how to deliver it, because in the end of the day, like you said, people can hide behind email and text messages and it can be misread and based on tonality and just the way the other person receives it. Communication is unique in the sense that like you can deliver the same message and in a room full of people, everyone has a different perspective of how they received it. I think it's the most fascinating thing. That's why I love this topic so much.
Yeah.
And so, like, what do you think really makes a great leader today?
I think a great leader today is someone who can be vulnerable, mm-hmm. right? Kind of going back to really admitting your mistakes, knowing you're not perfect, knowing that I can't do everything. So I'm going to lean on and reach out to people that can help me. Someone who's vulnerable, someone who's direct, someone who's an action taker. Right? I don't know great leaders that procrastinate. In my opinion, I haven't seen one. So I think, you know, be an action taker, be vulnerable, be willing to admit your mistakes, be real, be authentic. I mean, I just love people who are just themselves all of the time, right? We can read it. We feel it. There's a vibe. We know something is off when it's off. When you are yourself, that's when people gravitate to you. I had an owner call me just now today. He said, I don't know what you did to my staff, but they love you. I don't know what you did, but they want you to come back. So, and it's just the more I'm me, the more people feel that energy.
Yeah. When you are authentic and you vibe at that energy, people get attracted to it. It's magnetic. It's kind of like when somebody walks in the room and you're like, I want to have what she's having. There's a certain type of energy when you are authentic to you and yourself. And like you said, you can smell it from a mile away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And so what's one lesson that you have learned in your journey that has impacted you the most and why? Because I always love these like lessons.
Yeah. So many, so many. But since we're speaking of authenticity, I think that's a good one because there were so many things that I was ashamed of. Like I didn't want my corporate people to know that I was a young mom. I had a kid at 19 and like a lot of little things like that. So I would hide or I would avoid. I would ask everybody else. If you and I were at a dinner table, I'd ask you tons of questions so that you couldn't ask me anything about me. And I remember being, and many times I was the only woman at the table, right? So I remember being around a dinner table one time and I was the only woman and I was the only person of color in many of these tables, right? So I was always like, I just wanted to be my corporate persona and that is all. And I remember being at a dinner table and it was myself and one man of color and everybody else around the dinner table, you know, was a middle-aged white man, which is fine. And then the man of color that was there was so authentic. He was telling stories that in my mind, I said, OMG, I cannot believe he's sharing this. But I loved him. Like, I loved it. I loved his courage. And everyone around the table, like you said, he was magnetic. Everybody loved him. And that was the moment that I said, you know what? I need to be more like that. I was like that with some people, mm-hmm. right? People who I felt safe with. People I didn't feel safe with, my guard was up. And I was very, you know, sheltered. I showed them only a certain side of me. But the more I became me and, you know, was just whole Jessica, there wasn't a work persona or a home, it's just me. Then, like you said, I became more and more magnetic. People want more opportunities came to me. More people wanted to work with me. Things just became a lot easier. And so if that is one of the lessons I've learned, and I see it all the time, people always have their guard up and you can feel it. And it's not necessarily that they want to, it's that they feel that they have to.
Mm-hmm. So good. And, you know, you said you brought up like that situation and I'm thinking about like some of the people that are listening that are introverts or that get into that new environment and that feel uncomfortable, like speaking, what advice would you give to them for those that are in a new environment, out of their comfort zone, maybe an introvert, like how would you break down that communication or what advice would you give to them?
Well, Raquel, believe it or not, I was very, very shy as a child, extremely, like even as a young person, very, very shy. Like I had my inner circle and that was it. So the first time I speak in front of a class, I think I was in the sixth grade, I was crying the whole time. So there's that part. So I don't know if I'm an introvert exactly, but I was definitely very shy as a young person. But I would say that not to be afraid and to just try it once. And I usually start, if I'm in a room where I don't know a lot of people and I have an opinion about something that I think is really valid and can make an impact, I always start off with, you know, may I interject or can I add something here? And I think it just feels easier. And I would say even try it in the mirror, record yourself, believe it or not. I've done that before and it actually works and does help. Record yourself. Try asking those questions to yourself in the mirror. It actually will help work out those kinks. Tell to your dog, my kids have heard me rehearse. I mean, do it to anyone. It actually helps. It does.
Oh, that's such a good tip. Can I interject or can I add something to this? Yeah. So for those that are listening, I think that's great, you know, especially when you are in a new environment, as people get out more and more, I'm starting to see, you know, people expand their circles, expand their network. And so I am excited to see, like, you continue to grow. What is next for Jessica? What are you most excited about that you're working on?
I am super excited about launching my signature program for the second time this year. It is the Leadership Accelerator, where I go through all the lessons I've learned. We actually work on mindset a lot because, like you said, mindset is everything. We work on communication. Again, to your point, that's why I call it the art of communication, because you can speak to me and speak to somebody else and we receive it completely different. We also work on strategy, creating a plan. I'm big on creating a plan, creating systems, making sure you get it out of your head, making sure it flows and makes sense. And then, of course, execute, 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 hold yourself accountable. I think the more you hold yourself accountable, the more you can hold others accountable. And then we, of course, end up on leadership, leading yourself and leading teams. And so I'm starting that June 29th for my second cohort for the year. Super excited about that. And then I'm continuing to work with different companies, whether it be keynote or just doing workshops. That's always so much fun to kind of come in and like be a little whirlwind, leave them some nuggets. And then, like I said, they'll call me back, you know, and let me know how it goes. And I create such amazing relationships that way.
I love it. I love anything, all things leadership. I think leadership can also be a lonely journey. So like, I love the fact that you guys are talking about mindset, because even though we show up for the company or we show up for these teams or we show up for the environment, sometimes it doesn't always feel like that behind the curtains. You know, sometimes it's a tough job and it's also sometimes also even a thankless job. And I know my leaders that are listening are like, yes, you know, so I would love for them to know more about that program. And so where could they find out about you and connect with you?
I typically hang out on Instagram, but I do post often and I hang out a lot also on LinkedIn. So those are the main two platforms that I'm on right now. At Coach Jessica Rivera on Instagram and then Jessica Rivera on LinkedIn. So yeah, I'd love to connect with anyone. Love to hear your thoughts, your feedback. If you disagree with me, I'd love to hear. Let's talk about it.
I love it all. And we will also tag Jessica in the show notes so that you guys can follow her. And as we wrap up, I always ask everybody this question that comes on the show is, what's one thing that Jessica does to play bigger in business and in life?
Oh, I know you asked this question and I still wasn't ready for it. So let me think about it. Play bigger. Well, you know a little bit about me and I definitely like to play. I definitely make sure that I have playtime every week and I'd love to have fun. But I think this year I went to Africa, which was a huge one. That was definitely me playing bigger. And I think for me, like I said, I still am a little shy internally and I'm doing my best to get out there and network and meet more people. It's been so beautiful just really being around new and different environments and different organizations. So that's what I'm doing to play bigger.
I love it. And I was very jealous as I got to see your stories in Africa and all the good things. And I was like, oh my gosh, I want to go on vacation. But Jessica, thank you so much for being on the show. I value your time. I appreciate you. I'm so glad we connected a year ago and we continue to stay in touch. And I'm excited for like whatever's next for you. And, you know, I want to continue to play bigger with you. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode and hanging out with me today. If you're loving The Raquel Show and you've gotten value from it for your business or your life,
please don't forget to hit the follow button so you never miss an episode. I'd love to connect with you further, so text me at www.textraquel.com and send me a message. You'll be added to our VIP list for updates and special events we're hosting for our community. I look forward to hanging out with you on the next episode.